Satan put it on my mind, Neil, you have no right to get up and preach. Look at the life that you have lived in the past, the things that you have done. You don't even know half of what you need to know. And Satan is trying his best with every person in here to tell you you're not worthy. Have you had times in your life, and you know, after coming off a vacation, it's real easy for me to be excited and happy to be here and so forth, but have you had times in your life where you just didn't feel like singing? Maybe you've come to a worship service and you've been sitting there and you're looking around and you're listening and you're hearing people sing and praising God, and there's something in your heart that is keeping you from doing it. One of the things I enjoy so much about the worship here is on Sunday we have two great song leaders, Sean and Jason. They lead a great service, but it's not just them, it's everybody singing. And on Monday morning, many, many times, I find myself singing one of the songs that we sang on Sunday morning. Anybody else like that? Just raise your hand real quick. Okay, so there's a few of you that are like that. But I just love our singing. And the reason why I bring this up is because all of us are going to have times in our life where we just don't feel like singing. But I want you to look at something. The passage that was read to you as our scripture reading just a few moments ago has something in it that we use quite often to talk about a cappella singing, why we sing a cappella. But I want you to look at verse 19 where it says, and I want you to look at this as a commandment. I want you to look at this as, this is what we need to be doing as Christians. It says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And this next part is so critical. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. But some of us who have been Christians for a while have quit singing and making music in our heart to the Lord. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but the number one reason I want you to see on your lesson notes is Satan wants to take away your song. In Ephesians chapter 6, we hear that our battle is not about flesh and blood, but it's in spiritual realms. Satan has come to this earth and he wants to destroy our joy. He wants to take away the song that is in our heart to God. It says in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief, talking about Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Well, there's lots of reasons why Satan does this and how he does it, but I've come up with three that I thought are pretty normal reasons why we lose our song. The number one thing is Satan will send negative people into our life. Satan sends negative people in our life. People who want to take away our joy. People who find fault in everything. Anybody in here relate to that? If you don't relate to having negative people in your life, it's probably because you're that negative person. I'm just saying. There was this guy that was so negative, he couldn't say anything good about anything. His friend said, I'm going to show him. And he went online and he found a dog that could walk on water. He bought the dog, took his friend duck hunting, got in the boat. They're going along. He shoots the duck. The dog jumps out of the boat, walks on water, picks up the duck, brings him back to the boat, gets in the boat. And the guy just sits there. And his friend couldn't stand it any longer. He said, don't you have anything to say about my dog? And he looks at him and says, your dog can't swim, huh? We all have negative people in our life. And that's what happens is Satan wants to send those negative people to steal your song so that you don't have the joy of the Lord in your heart. Numbers chapter 13, this is a time where where they're sending out spies to look at the land of Canaan. And I want you to see something very interesting in here. And if you don't know the story, go back and read it so you can get some context. But the men who'd gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And underline the first part of verse 32. "And they spread among the Israelites a bad report." They spread among the Israelites a bad report. Now, one of the things I want you to know is bad news sells a lot easier than good news. That's the reason why when you turn on your TV, you don't hear a lot of good news. You hear a lot of bad news because it sells easier. And what they were doing here is they stirred up the Israelites and said, "We can't take these people." Well, the second thing that Satan does is he sends difficult circumstances. He's going to send some difficult circumstances in your life. I know in an audience this size, we've got things going on. Some people have some really difficult things. I appreciate so much the prayers and the things that were said today about those in our membership that are having difficult times with health and things like that. But it could be that somebody is grieving. It could be that somebody's dealing with financial issues. It could be somebody's dealing with health issues. But I just want you to stop right now and repeat with me so that you understand this. Now, everybody in here, say this together. I have problems. Say it with me. I have problems. Now, look over to your neighbor and say, "You have problems." Now, some of you are way too enthusiastic about telling other people they've got problems. Now here, let's do one more thing. All of God's children have problems. You're going to have difficult circumstances, and you just got to understand life is not easy all the time. And what you need to understand is that there is a purpose behind difficult things. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 3. "Consider it pure joy." This just makes no sense at all. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." I was talking to my son just yesterday, and he was talking about some issues that he was dealing with. And he said to me, he said, "Dad, but you know we only grow when bad things happen." And that is so true. We never really grow when everything's going well. We grow when we run up against problem people and problem circumstances. So, open up your lesson notes. And the thing that I have seen that the devil does quite often, especially in my life, is he sends guilt. He sends guilt. During the first service, in case you didn't know, we have an early service and then we have a second service. In the first service, I hadn't preached for a whole week. You know, I missed a week. I was with the people of Page, Arizona, and there was about 10 of us that worshiped together that day. As a matter of fact, after the service was over, they were telling me their preacher got ill and they don't have a preacher right now. They got one guy that's doing everything. Bill and I contributed with some prayers in the worship service, and when it was over, I handed him one of our pens and said, "Go online and you can download a sermon so you don't even have to worry about preaching anymore. You can just listen to me." And if you're listening in Page, Arizona, we love you and we appreciate you so much. But here's the thing. I'm sitting here in the first service, and Satan put it on my mind, "Neil, you have no right to get up and preach. Look at the life that you have lived in the past, the things that you have done. You don't even know half of what you need to know." And Satan is trying his best with every person in here to tell you you're not worthy. And luckily for me, I was preaching this sermon this week, and I was reminded of the fact that Satan tries to use guilt to keep us from doing what God calls us to do. Look at what it says here in John 8. It's talking about the devil. He says, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. What he is saying here is, you have been saved, not really. You have got salvation and God loves you. And Satan comes along and says, not really. I want to tell you this because I know a lot of Christians still live in guilt. If you're living in guilt, you're not living in Christ. That's the reason why Jesus says you have to, in John, he says you have to abide in me, because if you don't abide in me, guess what? Satan's going to continue to tell you that you are not worthy, that you have done too much wrong. I want to say this to you. We in the church are some of the best people at being judgmental. Amen? And we are judgmental against everything that's going on. Amen? And one of the things that we have done is that by being so judgmental is we're judgmental of ourselves, even when the Bible tells us that we have been saved and we have been forgiven of our sins. My question for you today is, are you abiding in him? The fourth thing, letter D, we lose our way. We lose our way. Have you ever been someplace and been a little disoriented? It sometimes happens to me. I'll be thinking about something while I'm driving, and the next thing I know, I'm like, where am I and where am I supposed to be going? I know I'm not the only one like that, so quit laughing at me. Okay? How many of you have ever gotten up in the morning and you can go this way or you can go that way, and you always go this way, but you're supposed to go that way and you find yourself going that way? You know what I'm talking about? How about, have you ever been someplace and all of a sudden you realize you don't know where you are? You know what the very first thing all of us do, and if you haven't noticed this before, I've noticed it several times when I've been riding with people and they don't know exactly where they are, they've kind of lost their way. You know what the first thing they do is they turn the radio down like that's going to help. Like, if I turn this radio down, I'm going to find my way. Well, you know why they do that? It's so they can focus on where they are and what they're doing. And the radio is a distraction. And for a lot of us, we're losing our way. We're not sure where we are. We don't have that joy that we once had. I love watching people get baptized and new Christians because they're so excited about what God has done for us. But you know, you see some of those same people 10 years later and they are a drag. And it's because they've lost their way. They've lost what God has given them. And they need to turn the radio of life down so they can focus on what's important. And they can focus on what God has done for them, not on themselves, but on God and others. My question for you is, are you following Jesus or are you just taking a walk? Are you following Jesus or are you taking a walk? You see, each Sunday we come in here, and for some people as Christians, they think that their job as being a Christian is to come in here on Sunday morning and to sing some songs, maybe give a little bit of money, close their eyes when people are praying, partake of communion, and listen to Neil's gourmet sermons. They think that's their whole job. But God has given you something to do. Let's see how we can get our song back if we've lost it. Number one, how do I get my song back? Remember your great deliverance. Remember your great deliverance. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life. Not only this, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. If you're being attacked by Satan and he's wanting to take you back to where you were, you need to get into God's Word again. And one of the things that I think is so helpful for us as Christians to remember our salvation. And there is multiple apps. I found one yesterday called the openbible.info. And in that app, you can just type in a word, and I typed in salvation, and it starts listing scriptures on salvation. And as I was reading through all of those scriptures, I was reminded of what I have been saved from and what I have been saved for. See, you don't even need a preacher anymore. You have Google. You can Google that stuff. But here's the point I'm trying to make. We're driving along in this life, and we got the noise of a job, we got the noise of finances, we got the noise of the news, we got the noise of the politicians going on, we got the noise of advertisement going on constantly. And for a lot of us, we need to just take a moment and remember our salvation. Remember our deliverance. Number two, we need to remember your great work. Remember your great work. It is one of the things that I have seen with people, either when they retire or when they lose a job or when they lose a spouse, is all of a sudden their life changes and it's turned upside down. I've dealt with a lot of people who've grieved because of loss of jobs or spouses or what have you. And the reason why they grieve and the reason why they have such a hard time is they don't have purpose in your life, in their life. And when you don't have purpose in your life, you are not living, you are just existing. I have a friend who lost her daughter and her husband, and losing both of them put her in a state of shock. And it was not until she found purpose in her life that she started living again. And a lot of us are going through the motions of life. We're getting up, we're going to work, or if we're retired, we're getting up and going to play golf. We're going on vacation, we're going here and we're going there. But at the end of the day, we have no purpose. And God has given you purpose in this life. He has given you something to do. Look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20. He says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" My grandmother, my father's mother, had to be put in a nursing home because of her inability to take care of herself. While she was in the nursing home, she did not forget that she had a purpose. And there was another man in there that she read the Bible to. And I think it was about 2 months before she died, this man was baptized because he came to know Jesus. You see, you can retire from your job. You can retire from your hobbies. But if you're a Christian, you can never retire from your purpose. Look at the next thing. Number three, you need to remember your great God. Remember your great God. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all," and I want you to underline that word, all that we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Mark Craven's been teaching a class on Wednesday night on prayer, how to pray. And one of the things that he's emphasized in that class, and something I think needs to be emphasized over and over again, is not that we pray for the things that we want, but we first and foremost pray to praise God. You see, when you pray and you recognize who God is, then you start to recognize who you are, and you become insignificant. One of the things we did out west is we went to several of the parks, and one of my favorite parks was Zion while we were there. And it is unbelievable. If you want pictures, I took about 1,500. I'll sit down with you and show you. But one of the pictures I've got is these two guys climbing on a rock. They were rock climbers. They weren't just up there. They were rock climbers. I sent the picture home to Nancy and said, I'm the one on the right, just to freak her out. Didn't work. She knew it wasn't me. But this huge rock that they're climbing, this huge mountain that they're climbing, they're on the side of it. They've got ropes, they've got helmets, they got all the gear and that kind of stuff. And they look so small compared to the mountain they're climbing. And when we came around the corner, a lot of times at the views that we were seeing, Bill and I would say, wow. And there were many times we thought about how great God is and how mighty He is. And when you look at God for who He really is, you and your problems are going to become very, very small. Because God is greater than anything going on in your life. And He can do things you never imagined how He could do them. One of the things that we were talking about as we were driving, I wrote off the trip because we had many spiritual conversations, and I can get a tax break that way. No, not really. But we had many spiritual conversations, and one of the things when we were talking about is how God changes us. And Bill has been through some significant things in his life. I've been through some things in my life. And we started talking about the scriptures that says that God will give you the desires of your heart. And I was telling him as a young man, I thought following God is going to be so great because I can follow God and I have all these dreams and all these aspirations of things that I want to do and so forth. And I'm going to be a godly guy, so all of those will come true. And what I have found out that as I follow God, my dreams and my aspirations changed. And I hate to say this because the elders might think it's true, but if I didn't get paid to be your preacher, I'd still want to be your preacher because I love the desires God put in my heart. And you are part of that desire. We worship a God that can move mountains. We worship a God that cares for us. We worship a God that knows what's best for us. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up in the Church of Christ. I had a father as a preacher, and I listened and I paid attention, and I thought, man, there are a lot of rules to being a Christian. And I thought to myself, how am I going to keep all of these rules? And then as I grew and as I became more enlightened, if you would, I realize it's not about rules, it's about a relationship. And when you have that relationship with God, nothing else matters. But Satan will come along and he will try to steal your song. And he'll try to get you to forget that. I got at the end of your sermon notes here, Isaiah 43:1-2. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the river, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Ladies, gentlemen, brothers, sisters, that is the God that we serve. And when we recognize who God is and our relationship with Him, our song will come back, even if it's gone right now. We sing an invitation song, and we sing that invitation song each week. We do it for several reasons. One of the reasons is sometimes people have prayer requests and they need to come forward and ask for prayers. Sometimes people need to repent of a sin publicly because it's been known publicly. And so we give them an opportunity to do that. Sometimes people have never put on Christ in baptism. They've never decided they want to bury themselves in baptism so that they can be raised as a new creation. But more than anything, when we sing this invitation song, it is an opportunity for you to make your walk with God right. If you've come in here today and you've sung the songs, you've listened to the sermon, you've partaken of communion, and you've done things the way God wants you to do, you're not going to leave those doors the same way. You're going to leave changed in some way. It may very well be that you'll be more encouraged. It may be that you'll be closer to God. Or it may be that you'll accept Christ today and put Him on in baptism. Whatever it is, will you stand as we sing?